This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And what would you pay to protect a nation from this?
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, NBC. We have witnessed this morning a severe bombing of Pearl Harbor by enemy planes, undoubtedly Japanese. The city of Honolulu has also been attacked and considerable damage done. It is no joke. It is a real war.
The first reports from Hawaiian media about the attack on Pearl Harbor 75 years ago today. And when they heard this voice, shocked Americans generally were relieved that this kind of national crisis was in the hands of a man they knew very, very well, three-term President Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us.
Question: is it our own internal treachery that threatens the security of the United States right now, or an outside attacker like the Japanese Air Force? We'll speak with Paul Sparrow, director of the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum, on how answering the attack on Pearl Harbor 75 years ago has defined America's role in the world in the 21st century. Of course, the time to ask the question, how much would you pay for security, is not when the bombs are falling, because then the price is infinite. In 2015, in a more sober moment, the Defense Business Board, a federal advisory panel that assesses defense spending, asked the same question, and the answer they got was $125 billion too much. This study, commissioned by Deputy Defense Secretary Robert Work and issued in January 2015, was quickly discredited and removed from the Pentagon website. Tina Jonas served as the Comptroller Undersecretary of Defense for the Department of Defense from 2004 to 2008. She doesn't dispute the $125 billion waste figure, although reaching that same amount in savings, she says, is probably a lost cause. Who is someone who loves lost causes? Perhaps President-elect Donald Trump. Jonas says the sheer size of the Pentagon would dwarf even the vast Trump organization.
It was very interesting for me to learn when I took over in my job that the Pentagon bought everything from floor wax to gauze bandages. I mean, it is an enormous operation. Clearly, the mission and purpose of the department is warfighting. But I think the arguments that are being made around this report and those that have expressed concern many years in the past is, look, we could do much better for our men and women in uniform by becoming more efficient, by adopting better practices, and I completely agree with that. The question is the scale and the timing of that and the energy that it's going to take. So are savings of this magnitude possible? It is potential and it's feasible. However, it's a matter of the timing. And I think the deputy secretary was Work was very concerned about what he called essentially taking what they call a wedge, which is taking savings ahead of being able to actually realize those savings.
But a confidential document that the Post quoted in this piece that we've both read says that the Army employs 199,661 full-time contractors, and that's just the contractors. And that number exceeds the combined civil workforce for the Departments of State, Agriculture, Commerce, Education, Energy, and HUD. That just seems crazy on its face.
It is. There are 9 million people that are affected by the department's budgeting. That includes those who are retired and those who are in reserve and guard capacities as well. So, look, I am not defending a million people in back office. What I am saying is that the department is probably the most complex entity that I have ever been a part of, and it is easy to put together a study with some assumptions, and these were assumptions, and make some broad recommendations. It's a daunting job. Clearly more work has to be done by the new administration and should be done by the administration. But I cannot say with full confidence that I think that the report was completely thorough, or did the members of the Defense Business Board completely understand the complexity of the department?
the numbers of people that it has working in property management. The Pentagon is probably one of the largest property management companies in the world. If you just take HR, human resources, it's one of the largest human resources companies in the world. Did I vote for that? Did you vote for that?
I would vote today for greater efficiency. I think this clearly deserves examination by the new administration. And I am always one for showing and being clear with Congress and being transparent with the American public about the efficiency or inefficiency of an operation, and continued improvement is absolutely necessary. So, more to come, I guess, on this report. I'm sure that it will be looked at by the new incoming administration.
But if it was anybody else who was president-elect, anybody else, we can't predict what Donald Trump's going to do ever, this wouldn't be going anywhere. It'd just be another report floating through the Potomac, right?
It is certainly, they have certainly gotten everybody's attention. And so there are dozens and dozens of reports provided every year. You look at the acquisition studies that have been done. I think the clear question that American people are looking to get answered is, will things change? Will things get better? And I think they have a right to continue to ask those questions and demand accountability from the department.
Speaking to us from the West Coast, Tina Jonas is a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the former Comptroller Undersecretary of Defense for the Department of Defense from 2004 to 2008. Thanks so much, Tina.
Thank you.
Questions, questions, questions. Well, what does the jittery or joyful, depending on your politics, Beltway culture think about all this? $125 billion in savings?
Unbelievable.
I'm joined by Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Can they just count that money?
Oh, John, how many times have you and I been on this show over the last couple of years talking about sequestration and budget cutting, right? Lawmakers pitted against one another for, no, we want our defense priorities. No, we want our domestic programs, our food stamps, our farm aid, our health care for young kids. And they've been at each other's throats for every billion they can get because of mandatory budget cuts. And then to find out that there's not warfighting money, but back office bureaucratic money at the Pentagon that they could have cut. Now this is why the report was buried, because the bean counters at the Pentagon and perhaps the Secretary of Defense knew that Congress was at each other's throats for this money, and they would come for it if they knew about it. It wouldn't have floated by. If Congress knew this money was available, they would have come for it, and the Defense Department knows that. So do you want to know what people on the Hill, maybe on the Armed Services Committee, have to say about this? Here's a Claire McCaskill from Missouri, who spent the early part of her career sounding the alarm on defense procurement and contracting. Listen.
Unbelievable. I am going to get to the bottom of it. I'm going to demand the report. I'm going to demand the data. The notion that they asked for this study and then buried it is unacceptable.
There's Claire McCaskill. And if you hear the tone in her voice, sequestration, John, which I mentioned, you know, next year, the Defense Department is facing another $113 billion in cuts under current law. What does that mean? Another war between lawmakers with different priorities, where they're spending political capital, saving money. Here's Lindsey Graham, who's also on the Armed Services Committee from South Carolina.
If they did some of the things they said, they should be fired. They actually suppressed, you know, information. I don't know if that's true or not.
Firing a couple people in the Pentagon, that'll get us close. Let's see. I guess the average salary per unit of employed outside contractor is something like $189,000 per year. That's what they're paying. Two people, they could save, that gets you a quarter of the way.
Yeah, I mean, a demi-tasse in the ocean, right? When you read in the report, as you did, that the bureaucratic force here is about 1 million people in the Pentagon supporting 1.3 million actual active duty people. Now, John McCain is the chairman of the Armed Services Committee on the Senate side, of course. He says that they had seen part of this report, but he was furious also. Like, John McCain has spent also a career as Mr. Pork, you know, on the warpath about wasteful government spending.
We had just seen that report before, but we hadn't seen the database of it. So we just had a hearing on a littoral combat ship that was supposed to cost $200 million, ended up costing $460 million, and can't fight.
You know, the interesting thing here is the tone of what McCain is saying sounds like debates we've been having for decades. But I'm wondering, in the sequestration environment, does sequestration, if they can't get their act together to avoid it this time around, does that get us close to $125 billion in savings and so this whole thing is moot?
Well, so under current laws, I said $113 billion scheduled for next year. Nobody really believes that that's going to be cut out of the Defense Department. I mean, look at the Defense Department's own political position in Washington for the last 5 years. They've been running around saying, we are cut to the bone. You can't cut another dollar. Sequestration is killing us. It's starting to affect warfighting.
You read the report, though, in the Post about the guy who says you can't even get rid of the fellow serving butter in the chow hall in
right.
a local district, much less
right.
tens of thousands of jobs without backing from Congress.
No question. And here's the other part that the report doesn't mention, John. So many of those jobs, those are private contractor jobs or they're on military bases. And so many members of Congress have a personal stake, not their own bank accounts, but they're in their districts. They're in their states. These jobs are not all in Washington. Don't get it wrong. These people don't all work in the Pentagon. They work for contractors all over the country. So there's a huge perverse incentive here for everybody to keep this going because all of these jobs are in every state and every district across the country.
Well, Hans Willich, the likelihood that this is going to go anywhere, I mean, Trump will use this as an argument to do what he said he was going to do about Pentagon ways, right?
I mean, he certainly can, but this is bigger than just that argument because of sequestration, and Democrats have the ability to demand what they've demanded all along, which is if you're going to cut domestic programs that help, you know, working and poor people, you have to also cut military to the same degree. Don't put it all on the backs of domestic programs that people rely on. That fight continues. If there is another $125 billion in the Pentagon that can be saved, the debate will become if we save half of that, does some of it go to domestic programs or do they pour it right back into tanks and trucks and bullets?
Well, oddly enough, in this unusual political environment, they may stumble their way to getting to that $125 billion number. Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.